have left the promise. We need not go astray because the Lord has tasted such that we can receive the Holy Ghost, the leader, in all ways of truth.
Amen.
Amen. But he is the Spirit of truth which the world cannot receive, because it knows not God.
Amen.
When we get acquainted with God, justified by faith, we have peace with God. And then we have access by faith into a standing grace, which causes us to enter into the veil of the most holy place, whereby we are wholly sanctified and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I'm thankful this morning for the Lord's plan that he has made so that everyone who will live godly can keep an experience with him by going on to perfection.
Amen.
Appreciate the presence of everyone. Bow your prayers as we look into the word of truth. Depending upon the Lord this morning to bless the heart of everyone.
Amen.
We recognize there are many needs that are represented in the congregation, and the preacher can't know all of them, but the Holy Ghost does.
Amen.
We keep our heart open to the Lord. He will minister unto the need of every one of us this morning. I'm thankful for that.
Praise the Lord.
All right, we'd like you to turn with us to the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians. I'd like to begin reading at the first verse.
Be therefore
followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints.
Neither
filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable
unto the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We appreciate the reading of the word this morning. There's quite a bit that we could talk on, and all of it would be worthy of being. The Lord laid the burden upon our hearts this morning in verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words.
Amen.
Now we recognize that we are living in a very deceptive age where there has been a presentation of what is supposed to be the Word of God, and it is set forth in such a way that it leaves provision for the flesh, it leaves room for an individual to still live in sin and yet call themselves a Christian.
Yes.
Now we have the exhortation in the Word of God that we are to be followers of God as dear children. Now we recognize that we have leaders in the land. We have spiritual leaders, but we are only to follow them as they follow Christ.
Amen.
I'm thankful this morning that the Lord can give a discerning eye and a clear understanding in that He has granted unto you and I the light of the gospel, the word of God, that everyone that wants to know the truth, the Lord is able to reveal that truth unto them.
Praise the Lord.
We live in an enlightened age where anyone is able to get a hold of a good, sound King James Version of the Bible, and we can search the Scriptures, for the Scripture says, in them ye think ye have eternal life, for these are they which testify of me. The Word of God from Genesis all the way to Revelations testifies of Jesus as a lamb that's slain from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
That He might take away the sin of the world.
Amen.
Now again, we're living in an age where they seem to override certain Scriptures and build a whole religion on one or two Scriptures when there are a number of Scriptures that contradict the very principle of what they're trying to teach. We're living in an age where men are promoting and theorizing and theologizing about the Word of God and not presenting the real soundness of the truth and the real gospel. But I'm thankful again this morning. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Any man that wants truth, he that seeketh, that longeth to be filled with the righteousness of God, the Lord is going to make a way for that individual to be enlightened in his soul and get a clear understanding as to what the Lord is desiring of mankind in this present world.
Amen.
Now the Scripture says, first of all, be followers of God as dear children. Again, we're not taken away from the fact that we have spiritual leaders. The Scripture itself lets us know that we have those that have the oversight over us. But there is something in the Scripture that lets us know that they are going to have to live exemplified before God.
Amen.
All right, where is it? 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. First verse, on down maybe through the 4th verse. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who also am elder. It's not, they said, that I'm trying to point fingers at anybody. I'm in the same condition myself. I'm in the same boat, so to speak. What the Scripture speaks for others is talking to me too. I'm not trying to pass off a responsibility to anyone else. I realize that every one of us have a responsibility to live the Word of God.
Amen.
All right, I exhort also, and who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you. I'm thankful again, dear ones. This is the first job and the responsibility and the burden of the elder is that they feed the church of God when he has been purchased with the precious blood of the Lamb. I'm thankful that God has made a way that you and I can be fed and nourished up in the things of God. I'm thankful that God has a people and God has a ministry that not only teach the whole gospel, but they live the whole gospel by the power of God. Feed the church of God. Why is it that the religious world, Christendom as it were, are living such lives that are worthy of disrepute, that are living reproachful lives, that cause the world to be in such discontent? So many are living this religion and that religion, looking somewhere for satisfaction, looking for a people that not only say I'm a Christian, but actually show that they are a Christian by the life that they live. Why is there such discontent in the world? It's because we're living in an age when men are not feeding the flock of God. They're not feeding the people with all the Word of God. They measure out just the portion of the Word of God that they want to live, and that's what they meet out. And then the rest of the Word of God, they seem to act like it doesn't even exist. But dear ones, the Word says that men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And it is the duty of everyone that stands in a ministerial capacity, ministering in the Word of God, to feed the flock and to cause them to realize that the Lord is expecting us to eat the whole roll. This is the roll, dear ones. The Lord wants you and I to digest and take into our systems all the Word of God. There's no Word of God that is insignificant. All his mandates are love betokened, and to oppose them is but strife. And so we realize that we must obey the word of God. And again, here the duty of the minister, feed the flock. What else is it saying?
Feed the flock of God which is among you.
Yes.
Taking the oversight.
Not by constraint.
But willingly.
Not with a precept of you just do as I say and not as I do. Oh no, that's not a minister of God. That's what you call a false shepherd, dear ones. But dear ones, I want to tell you this morning that the Lord wants us to understand and know that he has a church and he has a people, and he has designed us such that everyone that will live godly can be fed by all of the word of God,
yes,
can grow up to be a good, sound saint of God,
amen,
can have an experience that can stand the tests and trials of life and stand the judgment shock in the end. Feed the flock, not by constraint, but willingly. Not because you feel forced to, because that's my occupation and I don't have any other job. But dear ones, I'm thankful, dear ones, that the word of the Lord let it be known unto you and I that the job and the duty of a minister is not just Sunday morning and Sunday night. It is up to them by the grace of God to so keep their lives, so live before God and before the people that they can be an example at all times by the grace of God. Not only telling them what to do, but also showing them by a pattern of good words what the Lord is expecting out of them. Not by constraint, but willingly. Not trying to force anyone to do anything. Not trying to get anyone categorized in a certain kind of place. Now you sit here and you do this and you do that. That's not his job to do that. It's his job to preach the word of God and cause people to come into the knowledge of the truth and cause them to go on to perfection where they can be ruled by the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will rule them and tell them how they ought to behave themselves in the church of God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth.
Amen.
All right, read on.
Not for
filthy lucre.
But
wait a minute. Let's talk about this filthy lucre. We realize we're living in an age of harlots, where men have hired themselves out as ministers. Many times they're not even saved. They just make up their mind, I'm going to a ministerial college, I'm going to the seminary, and I'm going to get all the learning that I need, because I found out you get a good congregation, about 500 folks, and each one of them give about $5 or $10 a week, I'll have a pretty good income coming in. And that's the only reason why they're there. It's for filthy lucre. It's to buy men and women, making merchandise of them, causing them to accept a little watered-down gospel, a little doctrine that is less than the truth, so that they might make merchandise of them. They take them into their numbers, knowing they're not even saved, don't even have an experience of salvation. They have a little education. They put them in a place where they have responsibility. They make them a deacon, make them a teacher. They don't have an ounce of salvation. But I'm thankful, dear ones, that God has a church this morning that's made up only of folks that are saved by the power of God. In order to get into this church, you can't shake the preacher's hand. You can't pay your little dues and just be at church on Sunday. You're going to have to live holy, praise the Lord. I'm thankful for God's truth this morning. I'm thankful for the church of God. I'm thankful for the pureness of the doctrine. I'm thankful that we don't have to be deceived this morning. God has made the way plain. We're to be holy just as he is holy. The church is no worldly, earthly institution. She came down from God out of heaven. Heaven is a holy place filled with glory and with grace. Sin shall never enter there. And sin can never get in the church of God, dear ones. We're going to have to live right if we get in this church. We don't have a church for you to join here. We don't have a church membership book for you to put your name down there. Your name gets enrolled in glory when you pay a Bible price for a Bible salvation. That's how you get your name there. We can't put anybody out of the church. You put yourself out when you sin against God. This is God's plan, and this is his will this morning.
Amen.
Let no man deceive you. This is the word of God, dear ones. It's written down in the book, praise God. May God bless us this morning. We don't have to be deceived, but we can if we don't want to pay a Bible price. We don't want to give up the old world. Don't want to give up the sin life. Don't want to stop the smoking and the drinking and the different
stop these things. I'll tell you, there's a worldly institution out there that you can join and keep on doing your job and your filthiness and still be a member of the church, but you'll never get into God's holy heaven, and you'll never get in this church by living a sinless, sinful, wicked life in this present world.
Amen, Lord. Lord, bless us this morning. Feed the flock which is among you, taking the oversight, not by constraint. Well, if you don't give me so much a week, I'm afraid I just can't help you out.
Amen, Lord.
Oh, yes. Amen, Lord. God bless us this morning. Lord, pull back the cover of the devil. Show him just like he is, Lord. Expose the devil this morning. Expose sin. Expose the world of religion this morning. Make people realize that they ought to run for their life. Join an organization. It's just like joining the Boy Scouts, dear ones. You join a church, you gonna get any closer to heaven than joining the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, or the Brownies, or the Bluebirds, or whatever you want to call them. You don't get any closer to heaven. You're not in fellowship with God by joining any organization. You're gonna have to make a covenant with God if you want to be right with Him.
Amen.
Amen, Lord. Lord, bless us this morning. Well, the brother said, if I can't get so much a week and you pay my monthly mortgage or rent bill and provide me a car and buy my groceries, I can't help you out. And you know what? There are plenty of folks that will do just that. Just to have someone stand up and tell them a bunch of things to ease their conscience and cause them to think that they're all right with God. They're doing it every day and all over the world today. But I thank God this morning He has a pure, clean ministry that preaches the word at any cost. Their wages come from glory. God is the paymaster, and what He gives them is more than this world can afford. I'm thankful this morning that He gives them liberty and freedom to preach the whole word. They don't have to worry about looking around and see how the congregation's taking it. They realize they're going to stand before God, and if they don't preach the word, their blood is going to be upon their hands. And if He doesn't tell them the truth, He's going to stand before God as a guilty sinner, just like they are. So dear ones, you don't need to worry about hearing the truth this morning. You're going to hear it. And if you want to hear what, you take it in your heart and your soul, and God will prepare your soul for heaven. And you can live this way from this time forward and even forevermore if you will.
Amen.
Oh, yes, Lord. Lord, bless us this morning.
Woo.
All right. Not for filthy looking,
but of a ready
mind. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples. Oh, yes, Lord. Dear ones, this is what God's design was. These are the type of men that the apostles were. They were humble men. They didn't expect a salary when they went out anywhere. They had to receive free will offering, and whatever was given to them, they were satisfied and content, knowing that the Lord was going to see them too.
Amen.
Oh, yes, Lord. They were humble men. They lived examples before God. They didn't come home with this old doctrine, do as I say and not as I do. They were examples to the flock. They were meek. They were lowly men. They were full of faith and the Holy Ghost. When it came down for them to be sick, they didn't tell the people to go to Dr. Jim and call the paramedics. They taught them, if any sick among you, call for the elders of the church any time of the day and night, praise the Lord. The prayer of favor shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. They preached a pure, clean doctrine, a pure gospel. I'll tell you, dear ones, the gospel this morning is deliverance from sin, a justified life, sanctified by the Holy Ghost, being filled with it. And may God bless us, the ordinance of divine healing, because the Lord has made a way for you and I to be divinely healed without the aid of human man, without medical science, but the Lord divinely doing the work, praise the Lord. When we can have a faith in God like that, and you can, if you're obedient to the word of God, I'll tell you, God has never disappointed a soul that's fully obedient to Him. You obey the Lord as a dear child, dear ones. I want you to know you're going to have a
have a divided opinion, but you're going to have a sound understanding of God's truth and of His word. And you're going to have a willingness in your heart to obey the word at any cost. I'll tell you, dear ones, God has an experience for everyone that's willing to pay the price this morning.
Oh, yes, Lord. All right. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. All right, let's turn back to Ephesians again. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Don't let anyone tell you that you can indulge in fornication and uncleanness and covetousness and filthiness and foolish talking and jesting and still make it into God's holy heaven. Don't let anyone deceive you that way. Let no man deceive you. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man, which is an idolater, anyone that puts anything before God, idolatry is putting anything, loving anything more than God is idolatry. It could be a thing, could be a car, could be a home, could be a job, could be your wife, could be your husband, could be your children, could be your own self, praise the Lord. Men are so much in love with themselves today, amen, Lord. They have such an inordinate love for themselves that it doesn't matter what other people have to be denied of, comfort and care. They're going to see to it that they get satisfied. But I'm thankful this morning that the Lord gives us a divine love and a heart where we love the Lord with all our soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves.
Amen.
Amen, Lord. Oh, Lord, bless us this morning. Amen. Lord, bless you.
Amen.
Let no man deceive you with vain words. Amen. No whoremonger, no unclean person or covetous man who is an idolatry has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. All right, let's turn to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. I'll leave there something there for us to consider. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. Read a little bit there.
Know ye not.
The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Be not deceived.
Neither fornicators.
Nor idolaters.
Adulterers.
Nor effeminate.
Nor abusers of themselves and mankind.
Nor thieves.
Nor covetous. Drunkards. Revilers. Extortioners. Shall inherit the kingdom of God. Read on. And such were some of you. That's what saints are. They used to be all those things. But they stopped indulging in the sin business when the Lord saved their souls. Read on. Such were some of you.
But ye are washed.
Justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
All things are lawful
unto you. All right, that'll be good. Thank you. All right, turn to the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter. Read the first 5 verses. Let's see what Jesus' teaching is on this.
And Jesus went out and departed. 24.
I believe that's what it was.
24 and 1.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple.
Jesus said unto them,
Be ye now
all these things.
Verily I say unto
you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Here he was prophesying about the destruction of Jerusalem by the forces of Titus and Vesuvius in the year 70 A.D., this perhaps written in the first few years of his ministry. All right, read on.
And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives,
the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be?
And what shall be the sign of thy coming
and of the end of the world? Take heed to this, dear ones, this morning. This is the word of God. This is a fair warning for every one of us. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. Read on.
For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And shall deceive many.
That's all I want there. Let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you. What are you talking about, deceit?
What do you mean deceived? What does it mean to be deceived? Misled or caused to err, to depart from the truth. Yes. Somebody cheating you out of your chance for eternal life.
Oh, yes.
Lying. What is deceit? Lying. Double dealing. The Indians call it a forked tongue.
Amen. Yes.
May the Lord bless. Two-faced. Misrepresenting the truth altogether.
Yes.
Resting the scriptures. Amen, Lord. Oh, may God bless us this morning. There's a lot of that being done this morning. But, oh, I'm thankful again that the Lord has a pure gospel.
Amen.
And he has a pure church.
All
right. Take heed that no man deceive you. That's one of the first signs that you can expect. Men are going to endeavor to deceive you and cause you to depart from the truth. All right. Turn to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Start at the 33rd verse. Let's read a little bit there. Lord bless us this morning. Yes.
Be not deceived.
Your evil associations, evil communications, corrupt good manners.
Awake
to righteousness and sin not.
Some have not the knowledge of God.
I speak this to your shame. Some man will say,
how are the
dead raised up?
With
what body do they come?
Thou fool,
that which thou sowest is not quickened except to die. Alright, you can just read that next verse.
And
that which thou sowest, thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some of grain. But God giveth it a body as it pleaseth him. And to every seed his own body. Alright. There are also celestial bodies or heavenly bodies. And bodies terrestrial or earthly bodies. But the glory of the celestial one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Alright. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in honor. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. Talking about these bodies that you and I have here. It is raised a spiritual body. What is he talking about? The resurrection of the dead. The resurrection of those that have died a sinner. They were a sinner when they died. They're going to be raised out of the grave also at the last day. And those that were saved and died the death of the righteous, they're going to be raised at the last day also. Some are going to be raised to everlasting contempt, so says Daniel, and some are going to be raised to everlasting life, eternal life. But every one of us are going to have a new body one day. After this old body goes into the earth, the spirit is going to return unto the God that gave it, and this body is going to return back to the dust. But when the last trumpet's called, the judgment day, dear ones, God is going to call this whole world into judgment. Those that thought they were going to be eliminated from having to appear before God and had their bodies cremated and their ashes thrown over the ashes, God is going to gather it together at that day. Everyone's going to appear before the God. Everyone's going to get the just doom that they deserve for having lived godly or ungodly before the Lord. Everyone's going to be there. Every eye's going to see him. Every tongue's going to confess. Every knee's going to bow, dear ones, and acknowledge the God of heaven. We may try to do the best we can to try to talk our way out of salvation in this day. We may do all we can to try to get ourselves to believe something less than the gospel. But at that day, we're going to acknowledge that the truth and the word of God is so, dear ones. We're going to acknowledge this gospel truth one day. We may again do all we can to try to talk ourselves out of believing it. We may believe the lies that the devil is telling us all the time. We may let ourselves be deceived by some man, but we're going to acknowledge this gospel truth one day.
Amen.
May God bless us this morning, that while we have a good sound mind, while we have a presence of mind, while we can discern between good and evil, we'll acknowledge the gospel, acknowledge the Lord, acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord to the glory of the Father.
Amen,
Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. I'll show you a mystery. We shall all not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. What do you mean we shall not all sleep? That means, excuse me, amen, Lord. Some are going to be living when Jesus comes back for his church. Some are going to be living to the extent that they're going to see the Lord break through the clouds. Amen. May the Lord bless. May God help us. But most of us here, if God delays his coming in at all, most of us are going to die. Most of us are going to have a separation from the spirit and the body. That's what death is. But what is the resurrection? The reuniting of the spirit and the body. That spirit is going to live on in paradise if we're saved, or is going to hell where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched if we're not saved. The scripture teaches that. Now men are trying to eliminate that place called hell, but it's just so. The rich man, it says, lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment, and he had enough sense to try to ask Moses, the Lord, to send Moses, man who sent Lazarus, as it were, and tell my five brothers not to come to this place of torment. But what did the Lord tell him? I have Moses and the prophets. If they don't hear them, neither will they hear one that's raised from the dead. There was this morning, the Lord is doing all he can to cause us to awake to righteousness, to realize there is a God in heaven that is demanding obedience out of your life and my life. Amen. You wonder why I'm here. Why was I created? How did I get here? It was the wisdom of God that destined you to be here. And you're here to glorify God in your body and your spirit, which belong to God. You're not here to indulge in all lustfulness and lasciviousness and evil concupiscence, praise the Lord, and all the lust of the flesh. You're not here to do that. You're not a debtor to the flesh, but you owe your life to God. Jesus Christ purchased you. He bought you with a price. May God bless us this morning. With the precious blood of Jesus, you've been purchased. You've been bought, dear ones. So may the Lord bless us to accept the atonement, that we might be able to fulfill the plan and purpose of God in our lives.
Amen.
All right, let's read on a little bit more. Turn to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. Let's read a little bit there. Amen, Lord. God bless us, too. Amen. Amen, Lord. Amen, Lord. Amen. All right, 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter. Levi, I want you to start reading at the 13th verse.
Evil men and seducers
shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Read through this last of the chapter. But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned, hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You saw my life, Paul is saying. You saw how I lived before you. You know I taught you the truth. You know I endeavor to live the truth before you. You recognize and know someone that is righteous and holy in the sight of God. God gives us discernment. God lets us know if we're hearing the truth and if we're not in the truth. Amen, Lord. If we're honest in our heart, the Lord gives us that understanding. That's error that you're hearing, or that's truth that you're hearing. You better obey that. May the Lord bless. The Lord is faithful to do that to everyone that is of an honest heart. Amen, Lord. Amen. Paul said, you know what you've learned, and you know my life. You've seen my life. May God bless us, dear ones. May the Lord encourage our hearts along life's way. All right, read on.
And that from a child,
thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus.
All scripture is given
by the inspiration of God,
and is profitable.
All scripture is profitable.
Yes. Far reproof.
All his mandates, love be token. To oppose them is a strife. Yes. I want to emphasize that this morning. To oppose any other scripture, any other word of God. We don't want to be like that man that tried to prove
excusing. That there were no scripture in the Word of God saying that you can live free from sin. But when it was showed to him in black and white, praise the Lord, may God bless her, she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, not in their sins. No such thing as a silly Christian. The Word of God doesn't teach that kind of doctrine. And it's the 1 John, the 3rd chapter. It says, for this cause the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He that doeth righteous is righteous. Don't let no man deceive you, praise the Lord. Don't be deceived, dear ones. He that is born of God does not commit sin. When we are born again, we stop the sin business altogether. There's no weaning away of sin. Not no working out our salvation and that we grow away from sins. We stop sin altogether when the Lord gives us a new heart and puts His Spirit in us.
Yeah.
Oh yes, He takes the very cause of sin out of our very lives. Amen, Lord. All right. All scriptures give my inspiration to God. Well, the man was shown the scripture. You know what he said? That ought not even be in the Bible. May God bless. Oh, may God have mercy, dear ones. The devil has taken such a hold on people. And when they see it right in the scripture, they still don't want to acknowledge it. But it's the truth right on. And it's going to meet us at the judgment just like this. All right, read on.
And it's problem
for doctrine, reproof,
or correction,
correction,
or instruction
in righteousness,
that the man of God
yes,
may be perfect
unto all good
works.
Thoroughly furnishing all good works. Alright, that's good. Turn to Galatians, the 6th chapter. Lord, bless your word of truth this morning. Galatians 6. Read the 3rd verse and get down to the 7th verse.
For if a man thinks himself to be something,
yes,
when he is nothing,
yes,
he deceives himself.
Oh, we can deceive ourselves.
Be not deceived.
Amen. The pride of thy heart hath deceived thee. Amen. Lord bless us. What does the scripture say in the 12th chapter of Romans? Something about not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to.
Yeah. 3:12-3.
For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Amen, Lord. Oh Lord, bless us and help us to realize that this word of God means us to obey it. Every one of us are subject to the Spirit of God. You may not think that you're getting along well because you just know how to operate well in life. It's the mercy of God. You're subject to God this morning. God rules in the kingdom of men. May the Lord bless us this morning. It's only through God's mercy that we're doing as well as we are this morning. If God would withhold some of His mercy, those things that you said you never would do, you'd be out there doing them just like others. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, yes, Lord. It's so. All right, read on. 7th verse.
Be not deceived.
God is not mocked.
Whatsoever a man soweth,
that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall out of his flesh reap corruption.
But he that soweth to the Spirit,
yes,
shall of the Spirit reap life.
Shall out of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. Let no man deceive you. Don't deceive yourself.
Amen.
All right. 1 John, the 1st chapter, let's read verses 69. Amen, Lord. Yes. 1 John 1, 6 through 9.
If we say we have fellowship with him
and walk in darkness, darkness means sin. We say we have fellowship with the Lord and walking in sin, we lie
and
do not the truth.
But if we walk
in the light,
and
he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another,
and
the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son,
cleanses
us from all sin.
If we say we have no sin,
we
deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins,
yes, forgive us our sins,
and cleanse us
from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar,
and his word is not in us.
Yes, the scripture says in Romans 6:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
For this cause the Son of God was manifested, because all have sinned and come short of God's glory. Could not live out the life that the Lord designed for men to live. But Jesus came to take away the sin of the world and put a cause in the man, give him a heart and give him a mind to live for God, that he would not have to indulge in a world of sin anymore.
Amen.
All right, 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Amen, Lord.
Well, I guess I have that.
2 Thessalonians, the second chapter.
Lord bless us this morning.
Start the first verse.
May I beseech you, brethren,
yes,
by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ,
yes,
and by our gathering together unto him,
yes,
that ye
be not soon shaken in mind,
or be troubled,
neither by spirit,
nor by word, nor by letter
rest from us,
as that the day of Christ is at hand.
Yes.
Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come.
Yes.
Except there come a falling away first,
and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. In other words, that day's not going to come, the coming of the Lord is not going to come, except there be a falling away. In other words, the church apostatizing and going off into error, which it did back in the dark ages. All right, read on.
Who opposes and exalts himself,
yes,
above all that is called God,
yes,
or that is worship. So that he
as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself to be God. Who is this talking about? But someone that has exalted himself as supposedly as God's vicar on the earth, as God's representative on the earth,
yes,
and they gave themselves such power where they could excommunicate an individual and cause him, so to speak, just by their word, to say you are cursed and damned forever. You can never be saved. They felt like they had that kind of power. They felt like they had the kind of power that if you paid indulgences a certain amount of money, he could, that the Pope, amen, Almighty, calling his name, yes, the Pope could pray you out of purgatory. There is no such place as that. This is a lie from the pit.
Yes.
The scripture says plainly that what is appointed unto man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. There's no in-between place for you to get ready with God, where you can be purged from your sins. That's what purgatory is supposed to do.
Yes.
If you don't work yourself out, and your relatives pray you out and buy you out, so you can go to heaven. No way, dear ones. Actually, this whole body and this soul has been separated. The priest can get his holy water and splash it on your casket if he wants to, but the thing is already over and done. God's judgment has already been made. If you die a sinner, then you're going to stand before God a sinner. And if you die a saint, you're going to stand before God a saint. As a tree falls to the earth, that's just how it's going to lie.
Amen.
Amen, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, bless us and help us. All right, read on. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things.
And now
ye know what befalleth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work.
Only
he who now letteth will let. The Lord is going to allow evil activity to continue until he says time shall be no longer. He's going to allow evil. He's going to allow men to wax worse and worse, and evil seducers to continue to deceive and be deceived. He's going to allow it until the fullness of time has come. And at the same time, he's going to allow this pure unadulterate gospel to be trumpeted and held it out to the world.
Yes.
And whosoever have ears to hear, let him hear.
Yes,
all right, read on.
And then shall that wicked be revealed.
Yes.
Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit
of his mouth, to destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. You know, the devil can work miracles also. Amen. When Moses threw down his rod in the presence of Pharaoh and his court, what happened? But the old Pharaoh called his physicians, magicians and sorcerers, and they had a rod, and they threw him down, and they became a serpent too. But glory be to God, Moses' rod just consumed every one of them, letting it be known that God's power is almighty. The devil may try to duplicate all signs and wonders, but he can't duplicate a holy life, dear one. Oh, yes, Lord. Amen. Read on.
And with all deceivableness,
of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Not that they didn't hear the truth, but they didn't love it enough. They didn't love it so that they might be saved. They didn't love it enough to put it in action to obey it. Read on.
And for this cause,
God should send them a strong delusion
that they should believe a lie.
They should believe a lie
that
they all might be damned.
Who
believe not the truth,
but
have pleasure in unrighteousness.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, may the Lord bless. You know, that doesn't have to happen to us. But if we refuse the truth, we're liable to end up in such a condition as that. Now, I might have referred to it, but I want to read it now. 1 John 3rd chapter. As we close, let no man deceive you. 1 John 3, start the 7th verse.
Little children,
let no man deceive you.
He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Even as he is righteous.
Yes.
He that committeth sin is
of the devil.
While the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested. That he might destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
Whosoever is born of
God. Doth not commit sin. Amen.
He cannot sin because he's born of God.
Through the 10th verse.
In this the children of God are manifest. And the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God.
Neither he that loveth not his brother. Is that too tight for you this morning? That's just the word of God.
Yeah.
We're going to have to live it that way.
Yeah.
Dear ones, there's only one holy way. There's only one narrow way from earth to glory. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But there are many seem right ways. There are ways that seem right to a man. It seems to me that a man ought to be able to live like that and still go to heaven. You know, many people entertain that thought.
Yeah.
It seems to me. There's many seem right ways, but there's only one way to heaven. We're going to have to take the Bible way. May the Lord bless us. There is but one true way. It'll save your soul from sin's control.
The Bible way.
God bless the reading of His Word this morning.